I'm running on very low vocal power, so I'm hoping to get through this. If not, Father Mario can finish my homily for me.
All right, go.
We just heard in today's gospel Jesus talking about how he hasn't come to abolish the law or the prophets, and that he will fulfill even the smallest letter and word of the law. Not really the kind of the kumbaya hippie Jesus that we're sort of used to hearing about. Seems like he's kind of a little bit of a buzzkill. All those laws like thou shalt not, thou shall, kind of seems at times it might crimp our freedom. But what do laws actually do? They actually do just the opposite. They protect our freedom. And the examples that Jesus gives us shows us how this freedom is protected. Now, before I continue to unpack that last statement, when you hear the word law today, think of a good law, a just law, because we know that there are unjust or immoral laws out there. So keep that distinction in mind. So what do laws ultimately do? Well, laws protect something. They're put in place to make sure that something happens or something does not happen. So think about traffic laws. Imagine you wanted to go, as I did last Friday, into San Francisco, and I had dinner with Father Michael at St. Dominic's Priory. So imagine you're going to go in to go see the big Viking. Now imagine, imagine that there were no traffic laws. You could drive as fast or as slow as you wanted to. You could drive on either side of the road, and there were no stop signs or traffic lights. You probably couldn't get to Concord before you got into your first of many accidents trying to go to San Francisco and coming back again if there were no traffic laws. Now imagine a world, and this you really have to use your imagination on this one, in which everybody obeyed the traffic laws. There would be no accidents. Your car would get to San Francisco and back again in one piece. Your body would get to San Francisco and back again in one piece, and it would protect your freedom. You wouldn't have to worry at every intersection if some yahoo who was texting was going to T-bone you as you tried to go through that intersection. So we can see traffic laws protect our freedom. However, I think in our world, especially today, when we hear somebody wants to limit something that we want to do or to tell us we must do something that we don't want to do, we think that that kind of crimps our freedom. But that's an improper understanding of what true freedom is. Freedom is not having the ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want, with whomever I want. Freedom is the ability to choose what is good, what is true. So I may want to walk into the bank and take your money so that Father Mario and I could go out for lunch, but I have no right to that. So the armed guard, I don't know if we have armed guards in Benicia, but if there were an armed guard, he's standing there to protect your freedom from me, saying that you have the freedom to make sure that your hard-earned money stays in your pockets eventually. So I have the choice to obey the laws, and therefore we would all be free, or I have that choice to violate the laws, and I lose my freedom for the comfy of a nice little prison cell. So laws, again, protect us. It gives us freedom because we can't intrude upon each other's peace of mind, if you will. But this is only half of the picture. To get the fullness of the picture, this is where today's gospel comes in. This is where Jesus is teaching. So you've heard this, but I want you to go another level. Because the people of the day, and even our day today, some people say, well, I'm following the law. They're following the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law, or even caring about the spirit of the law. So Jesus is saying, I want you to understand the why behind the what. And this is where true freedom comes about. So let's look at the examples that Jesus gave us in today's gospel. If I don't physically kill someone, but I have murderous rage in my heart, can I be free? Can I be free? Ooh, it's not puberty, trust me. No, I'm enslaved to that anger. If I don't physically commit adultery with somebody, but I have lust in my loins, am I free? No, I'm enslaved to my passions. So what Jesus is saying, it's not just enough to not do something to somebody else, but now we have to go inside. Now we have to purify our hearts, our minds, and our souls. So true freedom is not just do this or don't do that, but saying, ah, I have this inner peace that is going to help me to truly be free, because I will have that inner peace that can only come from following the why behind the what of God's laws. So I think today we see sort of both ends of the spectrum sort of violating, you know, this principle that Jesus is trying to give us. On the one end of the spectrum, there's people who just want to reject, you know, God's ways, just outright. You know, I want to be free. I want to do what I want, when I want, with whomever I want. So I don't really care about this way of God. But unfortunately, that's usually in the realm of morals, right? But again, can I be free if I can't say no? Think of the addict. Doesn't matter what the person's addicted to. They've lost that ability to say no. So if I just saying every time I have a want that I'm going to satisfy it, am I truly free? Can I say I am free to be a free person, to make choices? Also, if I don't understand the why behind the what, but I reject it, can I really be free if I'm following an uninformed or a malformed conscience? I would be making decisions that would ultimately hurt myself or someone else. If we go to the other end of the spectrum then, there's some people who will say, well, the church says, and therefore I do it. While it's technically not intrinsically wrong to hold this position, it is sort of a spiritual immaturity. If you think about when we're little ones, our parents gave that wonderful line that if I were a parent, I'd love to be able to use,
because I said so.
Right? The trump card, the mother of all trump cards. Bam! Quiet. Go to your room. Clean it while you're there. Okay. Now, when we're little ones, that works. Does mommy say that to you? Now, this is fine when we're little. And what if our parents are acknowledging that as little ones, we really don't have freedom because our world is so complex that our little tiny minds can't know the fullness of it. But in good parenting, we allow our children to start to learn as they get age appropriate the why behind the what. And we also figure it out. After eating 17 brownies and getting a really bad tummy ache, I kind of figure out, you know what? Maybe I should have stopped at 4, you know? But that's sort of part of the maturation process. Well, the same thing holds for us in our relationship with God. So yes, there are times when we're new in our faith, whether we're little ones or recent converts, that's like, okay, yeah, maybe I should give Holy Mother Church the benefit of the doubt. But that's not being truly free. We are called to say, okay, what is the why behind the what? Why does God give us this commandment? Why does God give us this law? What is it that God is trying to protect for me and for you with this law? So blind obedience, again, not intrinsically wrong, is sort of an immature understanding of our faith. And we're called, as Jesus is saying in today's gospel, to go deeper. So we can see that Jesus wasn't trying to be a buzzkill when he was sort of saying, look, I'm here to fulfill the law. I'm here to fulfill every letter of the law. He wasn't trying to limit our freedom. In fact, in calling us to go deeper, he's offering us true freedom. Because true freedom comes about when we say yes to God's laws, not just because God said it, but because we understand the goodness that God wants for us, and accept that true freedom that only He can give.